So surprise, surprise. I didn't catch that one. Okay. God works in strange ways, doesn't he? I mean, following Terry the comedian, I mean, what can you do? But I'm more than happy to help our pastor out, and he's got a lot on his plate right now. And the devil's going to continue to fight him because he's a man of God. And we got to do everything we can to support him, and we've got to be more diligent in prayer. So, and when I said the Lord works in strange ways, I mean this. I went to Sunday school this morning with Bob's class, and there he is talking about Ahab and Jezebel. I sat in the church this morning. Scott, he has to bring up Caleb and Ron and mentioned Ahab. And the funny part of it is, when I started the ministry, I preached mainly to young Christians and so on. So I specialized in doctrine to edify the saints and get them up. So I didn't spend a lot of time preaching out of the Old Testament. But today, I thought I'd preach out of the Old Testament, right after you guys got through doing my message. So, but it's a little different. So if you'll take your Bibles and you'll turn to Numbers 13. Number 13. I knew great minds run in the same channel when Scott said this morning that Caleb was someone he wanted to be like, because we're going to talk about Caleb tonight. So before we do, just get your place in chapter number 13, and we'll have a word of prayer. Okay. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight, a needy people. Father, we got people who are laid aside with sickness, with that word cancer, and we have those that have went home to be with you, and praise the Lord for them, Father, that they're in a better place than we are. But we still need to carry on in the church here. We are the lighthouse here in Port Crane, so we got a big job ahead of us. We've got a new pastor who's doing a fine job, and Father, let it be our prayer tonight that we uphold him and get behind him 100%. Now, Father, as we look into thy book this evening, we want to have a challenge to ourselves that we might be more like Caleb and do a job that's fitting to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we'll praise thee in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to start out in chapter 13 of Numbers. And most of you all know this, but there's some things I would like to bring out of it. And we're going to start in verse 25 and 26 here to start out. I'm just going through this, and bear with me, and I'm going to expect some response, too. I always like feedback and so on when I'm preaching. Of course, sometimes you get more feedback than you want, but we'll try to control that. So in verse 26, we'll start there. Now let's go to 25, I'm sorry. And these are the spies, you know, that they sent out to check the land out. They were going into the promised land, so they picked a leader from each of the 12 tribes of the nation Israel, and they sent them into the promised land to spy it out and see what it was. Now, God has already told them that this is a great land that floweth with milk and honey, that it is their possession, their inheritance. He's promised them that. It's theirs. And so he sends out the spies to see what it is. In verse 25, it says, and they returned from a search in the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, it was everything that God had told them it was. They brought back the grapes and so on, and the figs and the pomegranates, and it was a beautiful land, and it was a rich land, and it was their inheritance promised to them. So then we go on to the next verse, 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, what do they expect? God has promised. Do you believe that God in the Word tells the truth? Feedback.
Yeah.
All right. Really speak out here. Then I'll know you're with me. Yes, God tells the truth, doesn't he? He isn't going to tell some lie and get us in trouble. And so he's told the nation Israel, this is the promised land which was promised to your father Abraham, and it's going to be divided up to the 12 tribes, and it's a great land. No problems, okay? Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak. This is the spies reporting back. God has told them it's theirs and so on, and all of a sudden, they know it's the right land, they know it's a rich land, it's everything God has said, but doubt comes into their mind. And they say, well, this is a great land, but those people are strong here and so on. Now, we don't have that kind of problem, do we? What are you laughing at? We don't. God is truthful, and you believe that this book, every word in it, is inspired by God Almighty, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created everything, so we can trust it, right? Good. I'm getting you in a trap here. No. Okay, then, I'm just going to throw this out. Every once in a while, I'm going to throw something out for you because I want you to think about it, how they failed and how we don't want to fall in that trap. Now, if every word in this book is true and it's God-inspired, why don't we believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me? Sunday school superintendent, I don't really have a Sunday school superintendent. I think you have a board here. But the Sunday school superintendent comes to someone and says, I want you to teach the third grade class. Wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that true? That was a weak yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
All right. But they're showing a little doubt here now. Now, this is the 10 spies against Joshua and Caleb. Verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea by the coast of Jordan. So what? God has promised you the land. But still, as normal Christians, there's doubt coming on, so on. Now look, we have it here too. And I'm not pointing at you. When you point at someone else, all the other fingers are pointing back at you. You realize that? I'm not up here chastising. What I'm trying to do is that we need a revival in this area, and the United States really needs a revival. And we aren't getting it, folks. So we've got a new pastor, and we've got a chance to start afresh. But it's going to take us all. Because his job is to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Don't be bashful. If you're wrong, I'll only pick on you. Go and tell. We're supposed to evangelize, aren't we? And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Why aren't we out there evangelizing? You know, I preached a sermon about 3 days in a row on the sowing of the seeds and so on. There's several ways you can preach that and so on. And to my knowledge, if you sow enough seeds, you're bound to get results. In fact, it sort of shows in there, what it was, 25% return? I forget. You'll be old. See, I can use my age as an excuse. But anyways, if we're sowing the seeds, we're going to see results. So my only conclusion is we're not doing a very good job of sowing the seed, people. But anyways, let's go on to this. It's a Caleb here and so on. Let's get down to verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome. There's always a faithful man of God to stand in the gap. God always has his faithful servant and his remnant. And we've got it here and so on. And we just got to exploit the fact that we've got more than normal and get out and do a job. Okay, verse 31. But the man that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That's probably true, except they're looking to self and not to God who is doing it. First, when I went into the ministry, was called to the ministry, Dr. Rembert Carter from Baptist Bible College gave me a verse, and I've never forgot, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, it's not Fritz Jenks, it's not Scott, it's not Bob or anybody else that stands in front of you people teaching and preaching and so on. You are the vehicle. God is the one who does it. So you say, I don't have any talents and so on. Don't worry about it. All you got to be is available vehicle for God to work through, and things will happen. And right about now, we're not too available, I say. And I'm talking to self here, because when I come up out of the South, we were much more evangelistic down there, and I am slacked off around here. I'll be truthfully, I don't know anybody in the village. I'm not around the village much. But we've got to start that and so on, so where are you going? Verses 32 and 33. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which is, had searched for the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. I'm having trouble with glasses. All people that we saw in there are men of great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were on our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Can I give you a real simple thought? As Christians, God's enemies are always going to look like giants to us, unless we are depending on the Lord Jesus Christ to work through us. And we can make excuses just like that. This is here, and so we were in their sight. You suppose these 12 spies went up to these giants and said, what do I look like to you? They were in there incognito, so to speak, to see the land and see what was there. They weren't confrontational. So these are excuses that we make, and don't we all make them? I can make more excuses than any of you. Ask my wife, she'll tell you that. Anyways, but God, when he promises something, you can count on it. And we just don't claim the promises like we should anymore, do we? Let's keep going. I got to change my notes here. You know, I sit here and I watch Pastor Scott and Pastor Baker. Man, they have these notes up there all printed out and so on. I think that's fantastic. I'm glad mine aren't up there. But anyways, we go to verse, I'm going into chapter 14 now, if you're following along. And verse 1 through 4. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness, and whosoever hath the Lord, wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. They must have awful short memories. Remember what happened in Egypt? They were slaves down there, so on. And God brought him out, and what did he do? He first, the last thing he did was what? The angel of what? Death angel did what? He passed over the Israelites who had put the blood on the... So he protected them from the death angel. He got them out, and they were going, and they come to the Red Sea, and what happened there? Now, Pharaoh's behind them with all his enemy, with all his armies. He parted the Red Sea. And then he put them into the wilderness, and they're thirsty. What does he do now? He gives them water, doesn't he? And he feeds them, and all this stuff. And while they were wandering around in there, they had more when they come out than when they went in, and God had really taken care of them. And now they don't want to choose a captain and go back to Egypt. Now that's a real smart move, I think, wouldn't you? Well, let's not get too hard on them, because we do a lot of things about as dumb as they wanted to do and so on. And this was all caused by one thing. Unbelief. And don't we have unbelief a lot of times when we shouldn't? We have to be a people, and just a minute we're going to get in to see why Caleb stood so strong. But we got to come to the point in our lives and grow up and realize as mature Christians we can wholly lean on God, trust Him, and He will bring us through. What's the verse about there is no temptation taking you except is common to God, and God is faithful with the temptation will give you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? I've been in some dumb situations, which mostly were my own fault, but you know what? God's always taking my work in the rolling, because He's been a, God always has taken me through it. He's never failed me. We've been in the ministry 40-some years now, and I can't think of a time when God has ever let me down. I've let Him down a lot. And don't you guys get too smart, because you've let Him down a lot too. But I can remember, and I think I used this. This is the advantage of being old. You can't remember what you preached last time you were here, so you can preach it again. You like it, whether you do or not. So, but anyways, I can remember being in college, and you got to understand that I was 40 years old when I started college. I just got out of high school, Scott. I was 40 years old. We had two teenagers, and we both were working to make ends meet. And I was going to college full time, working full time. Had two teenagers, which was full time work, believe me. And I got to a point where I didn't have enough money to pay my school bill, and was going to lose a whole semester of work. And boy, I'll tell you, things were tough. I thought, oh, man, here I am 40-some years old, because it was my sophomore year, I think. I worked hard to get here. I'm working hard every day, trying to keep things together, and so on. And I'm going to lose a semester. Got a check in the mail from a man from Germany who I had met one time. And that check was just exactly what I needed for my school bill. Jerry Turpiny and Emma Turpiny. Met them one time. They were with IBM, went to Germany through the company. And just sent a little note in it in that check saying, thought you might be needing a little help. That's all it was said to it. So you bet I needed help. But God is faithful, isn't He, if we believe Him and we do what He wants us to do. And this is what Caleb is trying to get through to them, that they're supposed to do it, and they don't want anything to do with Caleb. As soon as I find out what verse I'm on, I'll continue. So they want to go back again. That's verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jehovah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the all the company of the children of saying, the land which we pass through to search, it is an exceedingly good land. They're standing up for the Lord when it's a very unpopular thing. Remember, the whole nation Israel, not just the 10 spies, are all there, and they're all against it. And Caleb, there's always a man of God around, and he's standing up for God. But look at the results. Verse we in here. Okay, verses 10. But the congregation being, I think I jumped ahead. Okay. But all the congregation made stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. These guys are standing up for the Lord, God Almighty, and the congregation must have stoned them. You got something to look forward to, Scott. But God is on the man of God's side, and he intervenes, and he takes care of the situation there. So I'm going to skip over a little. How am I doing? Okay. You know the rest of the story on this, but I am going to continue on this, but I want to jump a little here. God is so upset with the unbelief of the nation of Israel, he tells Moses that he's going to wipe them out and make of Moses a great nation. And Moses stands before the Lord and begs for the children of Israel. So he's, instead of wiping them all out, and that would have not only been the congregation, it was the adults, but also the kids and children, because he was going to wipe them out, make a nation out of Moses, for Moses. Moses stands in the gap, and the Lord says, okay, none of the ones who have rebelled with unbelief will go into the promised land, but the kids, the children and so on, they would go in later. So Moses is a good man of God, stands in the gap. And the only two of the congregation who are going to go into the promised land are Caleb and Joshua. Okay, turn over to, I got to turn my things again. I want you to turn to Joshua 14 now. Come on. Oh, we got carried too far here. If you find it full, I do read it, and I'll be with you in a minute. Okay, now here's a lesson for us, people. Here is the payoff for Joshua and Caleb. Okay? I'm basically narrowing in and zeroing in on Caleb. So in Joshua 14, go to verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord God. Underline that. I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where thy feet have trodden shall be thine, thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly followed. Are you getting something here that seems to be repetitious? And now behold, this verse 10, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years. How old is that? 85. That's why I sort of get along with Caleb. He's 85 years old, but this is the thing, this is the rewards and the blessings of fully following the Lord. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. And here's something else I want you to listen to. Now give me that mountain. 85 years old, still as strong as he was at 40, and still wanting the mountain that God had promised him as an inheritance. Now, people, I like to think of Caleb and me as the same because I'm 84. If I go by our Edelman's thing, I'm almost 85. But my body knows I'm not as strong as I was at 40. You let me down. What am I saying? I'm saying God rewards faithful people, and he kept Caleb, one of the spies who said, we can do it because God has given us the land and we're well able to, and God has rewarded him with long life and strength to receive that inheritance that God has promised him. And his battle cry is, I want that mountain. I tried to get Terry to sing the song, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. The mountain that my God has given me, where the grapes of Escal grown. She didn't want it. You know?
Sure.
Oh, boy. Sing it for us.
I want that mountain.
I want that mountain. Go on.
Where the grapes of Escal grow.
And something else good, so. All right. But that was his battle cry. I want that mountain. He had a vision for Jesus Christ. And people, we have, should have, I say, a vision for Jesus Christ. But you know what's happening? I better stay here. My voice isn't that strong. What's happening as Caleb was holy, loyal to the Lord. And we've got one foot in the church and we've got one foot in the world. And it isn't going to work, people. And we've got to put ourselves where our Christianity is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and the Bible rules. There was a, Scott was saying about the television this morning in this sermon, son. And yes, we have a television, but it isn't hooked up to the thing. My daughter and son-in-law give it to me. But there's a verse in the Bible. I didn't look it up, but I can tell you what it says. I shall set no wicked thing before my eyes. And what television I do see, there isn't much on there worth watching, to be truthful with you. But Caleb, because he was successful, received rewards and honor because he was wholly behind what the Lord said. And I'm afraid people work too much, too worldly. We enjoy the world too much. Hey, I have terrible feelings about kids growing up in the world today. There are so many things coming at them that I never had to put up with. So on. But these kids today, the world's throwing things at them so fast, it's pathetic. And we've got to combat that, people, by being holy, following the Lord. Now, I want you to turn to, if I get it written down here, 1 Kings 18. This is where Bob made me nervous when he was in James this morning. 1 Kings 18. In 18, you know the story, and I don't have time to go into it, but God told Elijah, you know, about the prophets of Baal, and he challenges them all, and there's 850, if I read the scriptures right. Now, it says 450 prophets of Baal and then 400 other prophets, but they must have been demonic prophets anyways. Or he withstood them like nothing. He even picked on them when they was trying to get him to light the altar and so on. He said, maybe your God's sleeping, you know, and he was being sarcastic to him. And God sends down flames when Elijah comes to ask him to take the altar and so on. That's not where I'm going. But so he's just been very, very successful. He's killed 850 prophets. God has shown mighty power. He's shown him, told Ahab that the rain is coming. And boy, he should be on top of the mountain. And then comes old Jezebel. And she says there, and one says, let's see, I don't have it written down right. Says, I will have your head, Elijah. And what happens? He runs, doesn't he? He's just had a tremendous victory. And some little old gal who is meaner than a rattlesnake says she's going to have his head, and he takes off running, so on. And where do we find him next? Under a juniper tree, doesn't he? Feeling sorry for himself. Now, it's going to happen. Don't tell me you never had a pity party for yourself. I'm sure I had him. But what my challenge is today, and I'm going to finish with this. God has picked us by his foreknowledge. I'm going to get that in. I'm not a Calvinist, boy. I'll tell you that. As children, and called us. And the challenge to us is, are we going to climb that mountain and climb it for God? Or do you want a juniper tree where you can sit on there and have a pity party? The challenge is to you and me. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are true. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. If God be for us, who can be against us? And on the promises go, and yet we struggle for the point of telling someone about Christ. What you want? A mountain or a juniper tree? As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. What are you and your house going to do? What are me, my wife and my, or what are we going to do? We have a decision to make, and people, we better make the right decision. Because if the light goes out in Port Crane, what is the hope of anybody that lives around here? Scott cannot do it all by himself. He will prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. But the work of the ministry is basically, a lot of it is done by the ones who are sitting in the pews. And that's what we've got to do.